Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Ah, yes, dog pound. What started as a nightmarish trip in Tennessee ended with the largest comeback in NFL history by a road team as the Browns ran off 26 unanswered points to defeat the Tennessee Titans 29-28 and even their record at 2-2. It was an emotional roller coaster that saw the Browns led by Captain Comeback Brian Hoyer, 292 yards, three touchdowns, two in the final 7 minutes, both of those going to Travis Benjamin as the Browns went in and just got the job done after what I can only call an inauspicious beginning in Tennessee, but it's a victory Monday. We invite you to tweet us at Browns_daily, to call us 216-578-0850. This show all about you, your reaction to what the Browns were able to do. What resilience, what heart. Now, certainly we'd like to see him start faster in the future, but what heart in this game to come back and get it done. Joined in the Dog Bowl, as always, by my man, Matt Wilhelm. And Matt, I'm exhausted, but I'm giddy. It was an unbelievable day and an unbelievable win in what seemed to be a no-win situation halfway through that game.
It was, Nathan. And my gosh, I mean, I've got war wounds from celebrating. I was pumping my fist so hard when they scored that last touchdown, I almost knocked myself out. But that just goes to show, again, as I said, what type of football team this is. What a representation they are of Northeast Ohio. The grit, the grind, the struggle that you've got to overcome to reap the rewards of some success. We are 2-2. We are back in play. We've got the Squealers coming to town. We are ready, Nathan.
We are. That's right. We are ready. The team 2-2. And I think we talked about all week what a huge game this would be from a psychological standpoint. These aren't the same old Browns. Go and get a victory on the road for the first time since week 3 of last year in Minnesota, and they did it. In the locker room afterwards, it was a dance party, and it was a dance party all weekend long in Nashville, but especially after the victory, was it so sweet. But what a great video that was, a little insight in there. Now, have you ever been a part of a locker room dance party like that?
I have not. Not after a game, no. There's obviously some dance parties that go on during the week. There's, fun things that you do during the week in practice, but not after a game. I mean, I've been a part of the hugs and the tears and those types of victories as well, and maybe a little bit of dancing, but never a full-on party like that.
It was a full-on dance party, and so much good to get to. We're going to talk, obviously, about Brian Hoyer. We're going to talk about Ben Tate. We're going to talk about this unbelievable offensive line that kept Brian Hoyer clean, allowed the team to run for 175 yards. We're going to talk about Travis Benjamin. We're going to talk Taylor Gabriel, the undrafted free agent, a defense that looked like it could do nothing right in the first half, and then in the second half could do nothing wrong. Huge contributions from guys like Armonte Bryant, guys like Kaywan Williams, the undrafted free agent corner with a huge sack. He had a huge pass defense as well. It was a team effort from top to bottom. Special teams, the only thing you want to say about them was they were special when it mattered with the punt block from Tank Carter. I know, Matt, you thought that was one of the biggest plays of this game.
It was, and I think, just when you look at the score, what it meant from us from a scoring standpoint, the fact that we didn't have to go for two and acquire those extra 2 points and make those up, and I really do think that is that safety that you get, not only those 2 points, but you get the ball right back and what you do with that ball, thereafter, I thought was a huge play. Again, I jumped up and down almost through the roof of my hotel. But it was an amazing play, and I think it's one of those things that we could kind of tell Coach Tabor was setting up in time, because it's like we brought it, more than just that time. And I think it's just one of those opportunities where the feedback of a player to coach, like, Coach, I can get there. Call it again. Call it again. Call it again. And he trusted the fact that he was not only going to get the block, but he was going to not rough the punter or miss the ball and rough the punter, which, of course, would have set back the Browns.
No question about it. Huge play. And actually, I was on the sideline talking with Spencer Lanning 2 plays before that. And he goes, you know what we really need right now? I'm like, what? He goes, a safety. Two plays later, it happened. There so it he is. Got, we're going to call Spencer Lanning Nostradamus as he predicted that one. It really helped turn the game because it was a game in the second half that saw the Browns completely dominate, control the time of possession. Basically, they were on the field, it seemed like, the entirety of the second half. The Browns got a break when Jake Locker went out. Charlie Whitehurst came in, and I know he looked good on his first two passes, but after that, the Browns really had their way with him. An unbelievable, unbelievable comeback win. It is certainly euphoric, and it's something that this team can build on because as much as we thought it was important to get some momentum coming out of that Steelers game where they had the huge comeback and lost, they followed that up with a win at home. To come back like that and win, what does it do for this group in the locker room? What does it do for this band of brothers here that are the Cleveland Browns?
Well, as I said last week, Nathan, it's like learning to win on the road and how fun those trips can be. You know, yes, it's a business trip. You go in your attire and you're prepped and ready to go play a football game. You know, but when you win those football games, that dance party doesn't exist if you lose that game.
No.
You know, those memories that you create on the road when you're outside of your element and you truly are going to war with those 53 plus the coaches and staff and so on and so forth. And I think it's special, you know, and that in itself is the confidence that we can do it now. You know, let's go do it again. How fun was that? Let's go do it again. And also to the momentum. You know, we saw last time, as you said, we've got up to Pittsburgh. We lost a close one. We came home and won. That is something that we look forward to replicating this week. We went on the road and we won. Now let's come home and win again.
That's exactly. Let's come home and let's win again. And how about Brian Hoyer now 5-2 as a starter for the Browns? 3 2-minute game-winning drives now on his resume out of those five wins. He's got the clutch meter. He came through when you needed him to this week. As the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine walks by with a big smile on his face, no doubt. Although I'm sure in the future he probably wants a few easier ones than that. This is going to take its toll on all of us physically. I mean, man, but Brian Hoyer coming down, and you know, it was interesting. I know a lot of people when the Browns got down to the six. First of all, I thought the throw to Miles Austin was one of the best throws of his career.
Yeah.
And he said after the game, he told me it was a man zone read. He got the look that he went to the man side first, came back to the zone side, and there he was, double punched it through a tight window, perfect throw to Austin to set him up. They were rolling. They get through. Then he get down to the six, and a lot of people wanted him, hey, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. We're running all over this team. And I think it says something that at the end of the game for Brian Hoyer in his seventh start now, third come from behind victory, that Kyle Shanahan said, listen, I'm putting this game in Brian Hoyer's hands. And Brian Hoyer threw the ball, found Travis Benjamin for that 60-yard touchdown. A huge win, got the matchup you would want. Benjamin on safety Bernard Pollard, and just a perfect throw. Benjamin climbed the ladder, tapped the toes. Good night, Irene.
You're right, and I think that just goes to show the trust that has been developed. And we talked about that last week as well, the fact that he's making good decisions, that you can call a play, you know, and grow this offense and open up that playbook because you have a quarterback who can handle it. And I think, and again, to talk about that Austin throw, he said he went to the man side first, didn't like, and it wasn't even look back to Austin. It was out of the corner of his eye. It looked like a glance and throw immediately. Through a tight window. And that, I mean, that and the Barnage throw, I think, at this point in the season are his two best balls we've seen Brian Hoyer throw. But I think, again, it's the confidence that you grow with the quarterback you can trust. And the fact that this is the point now where you're developing this relationship where there's trust between both parties. Kyle Shanahan can call something and Brian Hoyer can run it and use his judgment and make Kyle Shanahan proud of the decisions he's making to the point where he's not having to question him consistently on what he's seeing. He's just going out and playing.
He's going out playing effectively. This offense has put up at least 21 points in each of the first four games for the first time for the Cleveland Browns since 1969. The last time they even scored 4 points in 21 points or more in four straight games was 2008, but this is the first time since 1969 that the Browns have opened with at least 21 points in four straight to start the year. And this was a team where you're going to be worried about this offense, and yet this offense has been absolutely fantastic through the first four games of the season. And as I've said many times, you got to give an MVP nod to this offensive line that continues to be phenomenal. By according to Pro Football Focus, it's number one in pass blocking efficiency. If you were to add up the grades they give out for the run blocking and pass blocking, it's by far number one in the NFL. They've done a great job for this team that's putting up 387 yards per game on the ground. That is ninth most in the NFL, averaging 25.8 points per game are the Cleveland Browns this season, 11th most in the league. It's fantastic. Kyle Shanahan, though, in my mind, what he has done has been the work of a genius. I think the way that he has schemed up for a team that on paper, you would say skill position-wise, not really in the upper echelon of the league, and yet they come out, they are efficient, they are doing what they want, running the football. Brian Hoyer is killing it at quarterback, throwing the football. It's been unbelievable to watch. I thought he called another brilliant game here for the Browns against the Titans.
A couple points here, Nathan, is the fact of the matter is I think Kyle Shanahan's having fun again.
Oh, yes, he
because,
is.
Because, you know, with RG3 and all the places he's been before, there's been these expectations of this number one pick and what this offense has to be just like his dad's, and they have to rush for these yards in that zone scheme. And I think that because we have a lot of the players that you just talked about, you know, the middle echelon, we'll say, of talent, and we're exceeding those expectations consistently, is now making this fun, you know, and it's easy, as I say, to replicate from week to week, and he's digging deeper into that playbook. That's one point. But I'll tell you what, couple things that impressed me, and this is really goes to show how much development there is on this offense as a whole. When you talk about that offensive line, is, you know, Brian Hoyer's not only not getting sacked, but he's allowing you to go through four and five reads to those guys. And yes, he's getting hit as he's thrown, you know, so much he's able to deliver the ball, but he's getting hit after the ball is thrown. So there's no sack force fumbles, you know, where he's running out of time. And also too, the one thing that is that I'm highly impressed with this offensive line that has been consistent all season long is that push, man. That, like, Ben Tate was like at 2.5 yards down the field with all his offensive linemen. They were like a line, you know, it was like a diagonal line, you know, in that zone run scheme before Ben Tate was even getting hit. And he was having, in some cases, and I'd be surprised to watch this film, if he didn't have, in some cases, like three holes that he could hit. Stay front side, cut it back to the A, or even go backside because of the push of this offensive line.
Offensive line continues to do a great job for all of the running backs here on the Cleveland Browns. And you talked about Ben Tate, who I thought did a phenomenal job and is now averaging 5.9 yards per carry on the season. And you speak about the line. What's amazing about that? And think about this consistency in these numbers, folks. Isaiah Crowell is getting down the field 2.7 yards before he takes contact. Ben Tate, 3.2 yards before he took any contact in that game over the weekend. Terrence West is right at about 2 yards before he takes contact. This line is generating a tremendous amount of push. They're doing a phenomenal job up front, and the Browns offense really is humming right now, firing on all cylinders. Do you want to see him get out of the gate a little quicker? Obviously, but I'll tell you what, that touchdown drive at the end of the first half, nice inside handoff to Ben Tate, gets down to the one, beautiful. They tried to run it in, they got stuffed, and then they go with a play action touchdown to Jim Dre with 12 seconds left in the first half. I thought that was a big momentum builder going into the locker room, got the team going, come out, you get the big play to Gabriel. I thought that was a big sequence there, but overall, offensively, fantastic job. Now, the defense certainly has some things they still need to work on. Also, we're gonna get into that, but it is a Victory Monday. We're going to focus a lot on the positive over the course of this week and even in today's show as well. We will get into some of the things that we saw on the defensive side of the ball, but thinking of the names that really showed up, especially late in this game defensively, I thought Armani Bryant had his best game of the year, got his first sack, made some great hustle plays to chase some plays down. Kaywan Williams, the undrafted free agent, who at this point is ahead of Justin Gilbert, the 8th overall pick on the Browns depth chart at cornerback, played a great game. Pass breakup, almost had an interception if he didn't quite slip on that one, out to the wide to Nate Washington. The huge sack from the nickel, and as a rookie, an undrafted free agent rookie, did not tip that off in any way because he stayed in his stance. You never would have known he was coming. Hit the alley right. We'll talk about the scheme on that play, which was so effective. He showed up big in this game. I thought it was just overall a lot of guys. Even Eric Martin with his most extensive action late in the game, rushing the passer, got pressures. He got a quarterback hurry and a quarterback hit and was only out there for two snaps. So I'd say they were two pretty effective snaps.
Yes, they were.
For Eric Martin. These guys really all got together on defense, and the defense, while it was not good in the first half, we'll talk about that, excellent in the second half. Just a team win with a lot of guys stepping up. We haven't heard Tank Carter's name called. Huge punt block. Kaywan Williams, we talked about that. Taylor Gabriel leads the team with 95 yards. just a lot of depth, a lot of hungry guys who believe in themselves and are coming through when you need them to.
And again, I've said it since I started on this show. It's that buy-in that Coach Mike Pettine has gotten from these guys. And you hear Coach Pettine talk about, you know, these guys came to us humbled, wanting to succeed, wanting to change their past here as Cleveland Browns and win some football games and compete. And I'll tell you what, is the one thing that I love about Coach Pettine as well and what this staff is doing is they don't care. And I think, you know, that the whole Justin Gilbert on the sideline watching Kaywan Williams, an undrafted free agent, make those plays. You talk about Martin as well, as we don't care how much we're and we'll get to this, how much we're paying you, but you need to produce, or who you are or your past history. If you go out on the field and produce, you'll play. If you don't, or we have to question your production, we'll go find someone hungry on this team to replace you.
It's all about winning, and that's what the Browns did yesterday, 29-28 in a thriller in Nashville. We want to get your thoughts on this when we come back. It is time to let it all out here on a Victory Monday. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm will be with you till 3 p.m. Eastern, as always here. And still to come, 1:45, we will have the Roundtable presented by Blue Point Grill as Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and Kevin Jones join us. Right now, though, we're going to take a quick break and come back, and we're going to hit the phone lines big time. We're going to bang them out for Mr. Jason Gibbs here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Without you, if I try, let's light it up like it's our last.